This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Right, you're on the One Radio 191 FM, the Reo Irirangi Kotahi. It is now 29 minutes to the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're now joined by Blaze and Sarah from Sahara Breeze Productions.
That is correct. Right. SBZ.
SBZ. Antamaria, good morning. How are we today?
Oh, yeah, good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, had some coffee. Doing well.
That's the right way to start the day. I don't drink coffee, so I'm just grumpy. All right. I don't get that, you know, that need fixed. Right, it's the 14th today, and on the 17th begins the first of four productions.
Yes. That's correct.
By you two and others, but you're the team behind and in front of a couple of these shows. Ambitious or crazy?
Well, both, you say ambitious, I say crazy.
Column A, column B.
Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of shows that were
we couldn't canceled, do last year.
Yeah, because of COVID and things like that. So, and we've been working on other shows during the year. So, we had four shows.
Yeah. So what? Yeah, you can't leave those ones behind. You can't.
No.
They're there. They're kind of ready to go. Did you have rehearsals for them? Last year.
Yeah.
We've been touring. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Around the South Island and the North Island.
Yeah.
So,
just been at Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah. So
that was really fun with Afterburner Dark Radio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. How was NZ Fringe for you two?
It was mad. We did 8 shows in 72 hours.
So
it was full on. Nice. We met some weird and wonderful people.
We did.
Oh, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And no doubt you'll meet some more weird and wonderful people, including John, who you already know, but we'll get to that one soon.
He's very weird and very wonderful.
I can tell by the pictures. right. But we begin, like we said, with the wonderful on the 17th at Allen Hall, the classic Allen Hall. That'd be your second home, isn't it?
It will
be.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to doing it now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So tell us about Wonderful. What's the premise?
Well, it's a lady and her butler in the 1920s. They're in the bright, trying to forget all the war, but he's been very affected by the war.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just bored of it all. She doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh,
but she's sort of looking for something else. They've grown up together, and there's definitely a romance going on there, but obviously, the class divide means it's very difficult. And so they're stuck in a room together because she refuses to leave the room because she's engaged to someone she's not really sure she wants to marry. So, and it's basically them sort of talking together, reminiscing, imagining things because she's writing a play. And so lots of weird things happen. But it's very funny, and it's also quite moving.
And it's been it's written by Richard Huber, award-winning local playwright, so we've been working with him for the last couple of years. He saw us at Fringe actually at 2 when we were doing 2 in 2021, and then came up to us afterwards and says, "Oh, I've got a play I'm thinking about, would you like to be part of the process?" So he's been writing it, and we've been rehearsing it for quite a while, just putting it all together, and we premiered that at the Playhouse in November, and then we kind of reworked it after that, and then kind of shortened it down to a one-act sort of touring piece, which we've been touring.
Nice. It's an interesting premise. Like, you've got one of the characters kind of doesn't want to talk about something that's impacted the other character so much, but she's falling in love with them at the same time. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I can't stand you, but I want to be with you.
That's it. Yeah, there's some really strong banter going on. And she's also, she's sort of a bright young thing, but a little bit older. So, yeah, it's that cultural clash as well. But, they've got a very special relationship. And there's some really nuts stuff in it because Richard Huber is nuts, which is so
much. Beautiful language as well.
Oh yeah, it's very poetic.
Very
in places,
poetic.
Yeah.
So we've been really enjoying touring that and taking it to different places. And been down in Invercargill, in Wellington, and Christchurch. We're going to do a season there at Little Andromeda. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then going to take it to Arrowtown as well.
Along with Out at Sea.
With Out at Sea as well.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can't be Arrowtown.
No. Well, that was our stomping ground
for many years. Yeah, yeah. It's nice to be able to take some works back there.
Of course. Yes. And we're coming up to autumn too. The leaves will be everywhere.
Oh, yeah. The festival's coming.
Yeah. all right, so that one is on from the 17th to the 19th at the Allen Hall, as said before.
Yeah.
Then we have Out at Sea.
Yes.
Yeah, is that next on the list?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that one, you know, I see a yacht. I see the hammer and the sickle and the star.
That's right.
It's an interesting, it's an incredible premise for this one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible. I just like the names of the characters.
Very non-PC, fat, medium and thin.
Who should be eaten?
Yes, exactly.
Let's see.
Yeah, so it's written by a Polish absurdist writer called Sławomir Mrozek.
Yeah, I wasn't going to try.
Performed in 1961, I think it was. And I read the play, and it's about these three people really that are stranded on a raft out at sea. These three characters debate out of the three of them who should be eaten. And you've got one character who's kind of uses a lot of political sort of turns of phrase and debates, and just reminded me a lot of Putin, really.
Yeah.
Sort of Trump, Putin type character. And then you've got this other character, Medium, who's the sort of the middle man that kind of goes towards whoever's sort of winning the argument. And just goes on about culinary delights and how he'd be fantastic at being the chef of whoever's chosen.
So he's playing that's the role I would probably be sitting
that's
in.
The role that Brent Caldwell's playing.
And then you've got Thin character who's very sort of Zelensky-like, that I read, that's sort of downtrodden but sort of fighting. And it just seemed really relevant to what's especially happening out it was written about, you know, Stalinism at the time things haven't really changed very much, and it sort of felt a little bit like that. And during COVID times as well, it sort of felt that we were kind of losing some of that freedom of speech or free, you know, there's that the power of society, and this is the what we need to do for the better good,
the greater good
of the country, and that sort of thing. So it spoke to me a little bit in that as well. So we've taken the initial script, and then we've weaved in the music of Frédéric Chopin, the Polish composer, through that, and added some Yiddish folk songs in there. It's super, super funny, musical,
and a bit weird.
Sarah plays a couple of characters that come on,
which add to the madness.
That add to the madness.
I like it how a work, especially an absurd work, can be a mirror on the times without you even kind of noticing it at the time. Mm. But then you can walk away and then think about and like, oh wow, that actually it applies to that so greatly. And you see that in a lot of works. It's so subtle half the time though that you really don't kind of catch up on it until something kind of triggers, and then you're like, wow, actually that. It makes a lot of sense to the world around me right now.
Yeah, and we did it for Lunchtime Theatre last August, Allen Hall, and we just had so much fun with it that I wanted to do it again and take it to the Fringe. Yeah, nice. So we've got the same cast, same creatives, and putting it on at the Nat.
Yeah, perfect kind of work for Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the New Athenaeum Theatre, what a space.
Yeah, and we're doing it in the round in there as well, which is kind of an unusual kind of use of the space in there. So.
Totally. Yeah. Right, then we have the beer. You've adapted this one.
Yeah.
Quite considerably.
Yeah, again, it was another piece that we're doing last year as part of our studies. And then
we've kind of morphed the... It's very it's a traditional vaudevillian farce written in... first performed in 1888. So it's an Anton Chekhov kind of traditional comedy. And we saw the characters as marionettes coming to life and telling this story. So it's almost like a music box that we've added this character called the Master of the Straps and have brought Victor Victorious down, who's a burlesque circus performer, to do aerial straps. Yeah. So we'll bring circus in it. So he's come down and we've added his character to bring these marionettes to life in this kind of weird kind of space that they live in on the other side. So and then they come to life and then perform the script, the bear, that's translated by local professor Stuart Young, who we worked on it with, and then they tell this story. But we've like the inner dynamics of what they're going through and their emotions we portray with physical theatre pieces, and also the use of aerial silks as well. So we've been working with Rochelle Brophy from Brophy Aerials on doing that as well. So we're kind of, it's been an experimentation. Oh, and added a few songs as well.
Yes.
We've used the music of Jan Tiersen, which is, he did Amelie. The music's so cool. So we kind of used that to underscore some of the monologues and the physical theatre pieces, and also for the aerial strap duel that takes place as well.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a battle of the sexes, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's romance in there as well.
It's a very traditional kind of play talking about the battle of the sexes, and I looked at it and thought, well, how this feels really old-fashioned as a play. So we've kind of played with the gender stereotypes using Victor as well and his burlesque kind of background and that. So
modernized,
kicked it around a bit,
and that's important. And I wonder, and I think that playwrights would, that are long gone, would be thrilled by that, that their work gets another lease on life. And one would hope that, especially if it's the works of a comedy type nature or anything like that, they'd like that to continue throughout the rest of time. You know, not overly serious in their work, so don't change a thing.
And people seem to be very protective about Chekhov and the sort of Anton Chekhov, etc. So I'm interested in how you play with that. And it's very funny the way he wrote.
Disrespectful. No. It actually just brings it out in a beautiful way, because I'm stage managing that one, and I've stayed off watching it for a while, and I've just started seeing bits, and it's just beautiful. You know, the way that it ties it all together with the aerials and stuff, it's just amazing.
Nice. I can imagine no one would ever go into that kind of stuff being deliberately disrespectful anyway.
No, and it's experimental. We've formed a little cool group called Experimental Theatre Collective as part of SBZ. This is an experimental work that we're kind of playing with.
And that's at the Mayfair.
That's on the big stage. We're using that stage because it's something that we're doing a bigger Chekhov series in November at the Mayfair.
Nice.
Doing about 7 or 8 shows. So this is kind of a step towards that.
Right, and then finally we have the John show. Now, I mean, the most important question for this one for me, and it probably isn't the most important question for anyone else but myself, is that are all the Johns spelled J-O-H-N, or are there any J-O-Ns in there?
I think that's a very good question.
I think they're all
They're
John Crapper was J-O-H-N.
Yeah, and Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
And John the Bastard. And King John.
Yeah.
And all the Johns, actually, that played for the All Blacks. Yeah. They were all those
J-O-H-N.
J-O-H-N.
Yeah.
I think so. But I think everyone will have to go along just to check.
I would like to guarantee it, but
Yeah.
Get back to us if it's not.
I don't know why that was the first thing that popped into my head. But it did. But it did. But it does sound amazing, right? So it's one man whose name is actually John.
Yes.
And I guess, yeah. You know, I mean, my name's Jamie, which isn't a widely used name in terms of adult males. I'll put it that. You know, usually people revert to James at a certain time in their life, or Jim. I do get called Jim from time to time. But people kind of resonate a little bit with people, famous people with the same name as you, right?
Yeah.
You take a little bit more interest.
Yeah.
So no doubt this John has. So it's a great premise. And there are, I mean, it's such a big name. There are, I mean, you go to the Bible, right? John the Baptist, as you said.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So you can tell us a little bit about it, if you can.
Yeah. And it talks about John Doe and whether John Crapo invented the toilet. What was John?
Well, that's the thing, because I also thought about the John, as in the toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the most widely used John.
And John, he plays keyboards and because guitar. He's a you know, well known musician, as well as being a theatre person. It went down very well at Auckland Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
John's very, very special for us because he very much encouraged us early on in our careers to kind of keep pushing forward as our first some plays that he directed that we're in. So it's fantastic that we're able to. We really wanted to see his show, so the only way we could was to bring it down. And bring
it was, do we pay for flights to Auckland, or do we pay?
We get John down.
Yeah. One flight, two flights.
But it's really, it's crazy, as is John, because he does all these famous speeches of these different characters, but he's also got this huge wheel, and he spins the wheel, and where the wheel ends up is how he has to do that speech. So he might have to do the speech standing on his head, or he might have to do it as a song, or stuff. And then there's a sort of dummy of John the Bastard, who is that voice in your head that puts you down, that tells you that you're stupid, that picks up every little mistake you make and gets at you. So all the way through this, John the Bastard is getting at him. And at the end, he does his own story, which is very moving. I mean, he lived in Dunedin for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and has a lot of friends and a history here.
Yeah.
And he tells his story, which is very moving. And and how do you fight against that voice?
Yeah.
You know? So, yes. So
So the devil on your shoulder is actually called John the Bastard.
Yes.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Now, God, if you ever hear me walking around town going, God damn it, John!
Leave me alone!
Yeah, you know what's going on. So, just understand that.
And that's at the Knockabout Studio, which is downstairs at the new Athenaeum.
Yeah, down in the deeps.
In the deeps. And we saw that space down there.
It's a really interesting space.
Yeah, it's like, it's really cool. It's got quite good high ceilings, kind of really old and grungy and... Mm. Quite a big space down there.
There's a lot of spaces down there.
Yeah.
It's an interesting place to tour if you ever get the chance to go through all through the Octagon and around Bell Hill and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So we're like four different locations, really.
For the
productions as well. So
that's incredible.
It's trying to support different venues that have of course struggled during COVID times. We were just talking about the Dog with Two Tails before the before this this went on air, and you know, so it's really, as a production company, what we're trying to do since moving here a couple of years ago to Dunedin is we've seen the amazing talent that's coming through the university and the how many students are going through that, through all those performing arts courses, and with the loss of the Fortune Theatre as such, you know, where does theatre sit in Dunedin? There's an amazing art scene. Quite a few people will leave Dunedin, etc. So there's some great smaller independent companies that are growing up. The Dollhouse, with Ryan Hartigan and Jordan Wichman, who we love working with. Late Bloomers, that just won amazing emerging artist award.
Yeah.
So Maria Colombo, you know, and the team there, doing amazing things, amazing workshops. Lisa and Daniel Allen, who've moved here from doing
Nelson,
from Nelson and running Nelson Finch, etc. They're doing lots of training, and you know, so we were just really pleased. Like, why do four productions? You know, but really, why those not? Four productions are bringing in. Well, three of those involved 13, I think.
Yeah.
13 different people that are involved with the university that are either currently studying or, for example, Richard Huber used to lecture here in Performing Arts and hasn't been really involved so much over the last few years. And this has really energized him to write more.
Yeah.
Wonderful is the second of his trilogy, and he's already writing the third.
Yeah.
His third play at the moment, and he's really fired up, which is great. So, so for us, we've got a real heart for bringing people together and trying to keep that talent.
Yeah.
Locally, giving people work.
That's right. That's really important. We need people to come out. We've got to stop romanticising the past and reminiscing on the greatness that the city has been.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's great now.
Yeah.
It is.
The fortune's going to be like, well, we came after the fortune and we can't believe how welcoming and open the theatre people are and how encouraging
that. Music, dance, circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all the arts, you know, painting art, you know, it's just so vibrant and has some really amazing spaces in here.
Totally.
And people got to realize that it doesn't have to be the fortune.
No.
It's a grand old place, but there's other places just as awesome and lovely and quirky and interesting and you know, and space is really important to work.
Coming from important. Queenstown, where we didn't really have any space, that is very true.
Totally.
I was reading an article about Wellington actually recently, and then they were saying how amazing it was as an arts hub, and still is, when they had the sort of cheaper warehouses in town, and there was loads of space there for those, you know, Peter Jacksons to evolve, and all those talented people to kind of come through, and then that's gone. With the kind of all the rebuilding, and it's now really quite hard. So I think
I think
Dunedin has a lot of potential, but also there's that same path that, you know, that we've got to be really careful about, that these places are secured, you know, the Playhouses, the Mayfairs, the Globe Theatre, for example, and all those music venues, as well. So, like we were talking about the Dog with Two Tails, well, that's closing in a month's time.
Yeah.
Again,
in 2 weeks. You know, again, that's an amazing venue.
Yeah.
We will use that for Shot Glass Shorts last year. Again, that is a real loss to lose something like that.
Oh, it's tragic.
It's tragic.
Right, well, so the shows are, we'll leave it there, but running from the 17th, and the last show finishes on the 25th.
Yep.
You can find out all more details. There's flyers are all around town, or go to dunedinfringe.nz on all the details for that. Look up SBZ Productions online as well and find the run, because, of course, not just these shows, but going around South Island, going to Bannockburn Hall. Look at that.
We've actually been to Bannockburn.
Because my mum lives in Cromwell.
Good old Crompton, 445. Well, thank you both for coming in. That's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.